Welcome to your own health and fitness. I'm health integrationist Lena Berman, and I come to you every week to discuss self-care and the art of healing. In response to the influence of fast and convenience foods, a slow foods movement has been growing. It's been nurtured by chefs and organic growers. Buying and preparing whole, unprocessed foods is often felt to be a luxury of stay-at-home moms, people who work out of their houses, or trust fund people. In an effort to streamline their already overburdened lifestyles, even the health-conscious buy foods that have been processed for convenience. Cold cereals, protein bars, prepared soups and pastas, an array of baked goods and dairy products and juices that are all labeled natural and organic. Are these whole foods? It might surprise you to discover these are fake foods with many altered and overprocessed additives, sweeteners, and damaged fats and proteins. And we're talking about even those that are branded natural and organic. Join me in the next hour as we examine the intrusion of fake foods. My guest is food journalist Sally Fallon. Wrong piece of paper. Here we go. Sally Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, combines a background in nutrition with training in French and Mediterranean cooking. She studied gourmet culinary techniques in both Paris and the United States and has devoted many years to researching genuine versions of traditional cooking methods. Fallon is a popular speaker and author or co-author of numerous articles. One of the more famous ones is called The Oiling of America. She's also written a lot on the problems with soy as a food. And Sally Fallon is also the founder of a campaign for real milk, the website of which is realmilk.com. In 1999, she founded the Weston A. Price Foundation in Washington, D.C., and serves as editor of the foundation's quarterly journal, Wise Traditions in Food and Farming in the Healing Arts. The foundation is dedicated to education, research, and activism in the field of nutrition and food production. Mrs. Fallon is the mother of four healthy children and resides in Washington, D.C., and we're always so pleased to have you with us. Welcome to you, Sally.
Oh, thank you, Linda. Thanks so much. You know, you were talking about the Weston A. Price Foundation. It was set up specifically to tell people about what has happened to the food supply and to counteract the really watered-down message and inaccurate message that's coming from the food industry about what we should eat.
Yeah, well, I think you do a really good job.
Thank you.
I've been a member for a while. Wise Traditions, your magazine always has really groundbreaking information in it, and then you also have resources in the back for people to find good meat, you know, meat that's grown ethically, where the animals are not tortured, and
the meat that's healthy,
dairy and things like that. And then there's even information for people who may choose to eat more in the direction of vegetarianism and protect themselves. So, Nourishing Traditions has a lot of information like that. Your book, Nourishing Traditions.
Well, that's the other half of the equation. It's not just telling people, well, you should eat these real foods grown in appropriate ways, but hey, where do I find these foods? Because they've mostly disappeared. So we've set up a system of local chapters that help people find exactly what we're talking about.
When I approached you with this topic of fake foods, you immediately said that we needed to really sort of zero in on corn and soy, and I'm going to very naively ask you, aren't these real foods, Sally?
Well, they are real foods when they start out. But corn and soy are very pliable, and the industry, the food industry, can do all sorts of things with them. The soy, first of all, the oil is taken out of the soy, and then they get soy lecithin from the sludge. And then they have this high-protein waste product, and they figured out how to take the protein out of there, and they actually treat this protein in a number of ways that resemble plastic manufacture. It's extruded out of tiny holes at tremendous temperatures and pressures, just the way little plastic toys are extruded. And then they doctor it up, and they can make it in all types of shapes and strings and globs and bits and so forth. And then they doctor it up with flavorings, and that's the hamburger helper. That's the meat extender. And these types of products are in many, many foods that aren't called soy. They are found in all sorts of imitation foods. I was reading about, this is just so awful, chicken. The chicken is sort of broken down and then injected with various substances like these soy proteins and flavorings and so forth. And then it's kind of put back together again with edible glues, and that's chicken McNuggets, you know. It's
edible glues.
Yeah, it's not a piece
edible
of chicken.
Glue is where the corn comes in, isn't it?
Right.
No, I'm serious.
Well, the edible glues are usually made from casein. So
oh,
that's
God.
Where the milk comes
oh,
in.
So people with milk allergies. Ugh.
You know, there was a bill that I think has languished, but the bill would say on it, it would stipulate that any food had to say whether it contains the major allergens, which are corn, soy, wheat, milk, and I guess nuts. That's
peanuts,
what it was
yeah.
And it didn't get anywhere, and I think the powers that be just realized that they started saying, well, milk is in this food, and you had no idea. Or if they had to put on the orange juice that soy is in the orange juice, because it is.
Soy is in orange juice.
Yes, there is a... they combine the pectin in orange juice with soy protein, and that keeps it from settling.
Well, you know, I know there are a bunch of people sitting out there going, but soy is good food, you know? So what? So they're taking this, really, it has genistins in it, which protect us from cancer, and it's high in protein, and it's inexpensive to produce. This is great stuff.
Well, the way soy is used in Asia, it is a very important part of the diet, but that is a totally different type of processing. That's a fermentation where the bacteria take care of some of the more difficult components in the soy. They don't alter the protein. They don't damage the protein. You can imagine what extrusion does to the soy when it's at very high temperatures. The proteins are just knocked out. They're worthless. So the fermentation is something that is done by artisans. It takes a long time, up to 3 years. And then the soy is eaten in conjunction with other foods.
In small quantities, I might add.
In small quantities. And there are good things in the soy. For example, when you ferment soy, you get a lot of vitamin K. Vitamin K is very important for healthy blood and healthy bones. Now, in the Asian diet, there really aren't many sources of vitamin K. So the soy, fermented soy, is kind of crucial to that diet.
So we're talking about tempeh and miso.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now, in the Western diet, we get vitamin K from butter and milk fats and things like that. So we don't need it. It doesn't mean we can't eat it, but we don't need it the way they need it in the Asian diet. And this is the whole point. Whenever you're looking at a food, you need to look at it in its context, starting with its microbial context up to its macro context, if you will.
Well, we might just roll it back and make it very simple for people. What happens to a cow that's roaming around in a field and it eats a bunch of soybeans?
Well, that doesn't usually happen because they don't let the cows in the soybeans.
Uh-huh. But what would happen?
Well, they probably would get a goiter.
They also get poisoned? My understanding is that cows get very, very sick if they eat a bunch of soy, unprocessed soy.
Right, and goats for sure do. I was talking to someone who almost lost all her goats by feeding them soy. If you actually go on the Central Soya website, it'll tell you that...
Say that again?
Central Soya website.
This is a new one. I know about soy online service.
No, this is one of the soy industry's websites.
Oh.
They will tell you that pigs can have no more than 1% of soy in their diet when they're growing, or it will kill them.
And now, we're an awful lot like pigs.
Yeah, and we are an awful lot like pigs. We have a very similar digestive tract. So that's a clue that we need to treat this substance with great care.
Okay, so just to backtrack for a second, we're saying two things. One is that soy itself is a very dicey substance that has to be prepared very carefully to get rid of variety of substances that are inherent in the soy, which in a high quantity, unprocessed, are slightly poisonous.
That's exactly right. Even
completely poisonous.
Yeah, right, right.
Part of what you said is that they're goitrogenic, which means that they suppress and inhibit thyroid function.
That's right.
We also know, as you've talked about endlessly in your alerts about soy, there's anti-nutrients like trypsin and phytates in soy, which,
right.
again,
trypsin,
if it's processed and eaten in very small quantities, is okay, but you take this raw material and it really is not a panacea. It's a difficult material to start with. Then you start processing it at extremely high heats.
Yeah, right.
And extruding it and using the sludge that's left over from the processing for various things. And what you end up is with something that is, is it fair to say poisonous?
Well, certainly indigestible. Certainly something that's not going to nourish you. Now, mind you, Lena, some of these things, the ones that are in foods where they're not labeled, it's in small amounts. So it probably won't kill you, but at the same time, if you're very sensitive, you might get, real indigestion. Flatulence is a huge problem with soy.
Yeah, it's very allergenic.
And allergies, allergic reactions, that's right.
Now, some companies do make organic, non-GMO soy. Mm-hmm. There's a whole variety. I've gotten, actually, packages of information from some of the tofu companies that right. really make a point of using a good material. Oops.
No, that's somebody else's phone. Sorry.
Oh, okay. And it is the case, though, that a lot of the soy, one of the things that's happening is that we grow a lot of soy. And incidentally, some of the rainforests that are being chopped down in Brazil and other places are being chopped down to grow soy. I don't know if people realize
right.
that. They
more
always say
being chopped down for soy than for beef.
Yeah, they're supposedly grazing beef, but that's not what's happening. They're yeah. actually raising soy. So a lot of the soy is GMO, and a lot of it is not organic. And that's the stuff that's sort of finding itself in the food. You know, it's kind of yeah. sneaking in.
But, I'm not in favor of GMO food, but this is not a GMO issue. Because these anti-nutrients are in all soy. It doesn't matter whether it's organic or non-organic. They are part of the soybean, that characteristic of the soybean. Actually, the phytoestrogens are the plant's natural pesticides, and they cause the insects to become sterile when they eat these. And it's these very phytoestrogens that are the goitrogens that depress thyroid function. So
yep.
they're in all soy. And actually, the levels are a little higher in GMO soy. I don't know about organic versus non-organic, but it's in all soy, and there's not a huge amount of difference.
Actually, you would have been proud of me. I was listening to public radio this morning and an NPR station, and they were doing a show on precocious puberty, and somebody asked about soy, and I went ahead and called in, and they kind of know me. And what I said was that these phytoestrogens, these plant estrogens, are not native to our bodies, and what they tend to do is knock our native estrogens off the receptor sites. Initially, I think people thought this was a good idea because estrogen has such a bad reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, native estrogens have a protective effect when they're in balance with our other hormones. Oh. But these non-native estrogens, when they knock the receptors off, are being shown to cause dementia and senility in later life of people who eat a lot of it, like these Japanese men that were
right.
studied in Hawaii who ate a lot of tofu.
Right.
They're also in soy formulas and plant foods for plant-based foods for animals. And they're causing a lot of health problems because they're offering up a bunch of estrogen to
well, and sometimes it's kind of a Russian roulette. Sometimes they will block estrogen sites, and sometimes they bind to estrogen sites. And no one really knows when that's going to happen and to whom. But I do think this opposite effect that they can have explains the two types of effects that we're hearing on little boys. The little boys who are fed soy formula, either they have very delayed, interrupted maturation, or they are very precocious early masculine maturation. So that's what we're hearing with little boys. Very often with little girls, you hear, and this is in the studies too, early puberty, or very, very difficult time with the menstrual periods when they come.
Well, it's also blocking thyroid function, so you're going to have a problem with menstruation if your thyroid's not working.
Right. I talked to a woman the other day who's had soy-fed little girls, 1 year old, and they were already having body odor of a teenage girl.
Oh, gosh.
And, of course, this is a heartbroken mother, you know, and I thought I was doing the best for my child. And we have no idea what that will lead to, but we do know what happened when little girls were exposed to the synthetic estrogen, DES, just through the placenta. The problems didn't show up until much later on.
Yeah,
so
we're not
going to
know. We're not going to know right away. Yeah. Now, there's a great article in this last issue, the winter issue of Wise Traditions, Soy Alert. You always have a Soy Alert, but this
right.
one is about lecithin, which is being sold as this panacea for everybody to have healthy. You know, lecithin does all this great stuff, and it's explained, the author explains how lecithin is made from this sludge from the processing products of soy, and that, in fact, natural lecithin is in egg yolks.
Right, and butter and fats and
this is very cool, but, I mean, people are really pushing these phospholipids, you know, like the phosphatidylcholine. It's supposed to be this wonderful stuff, and here it is being made out of this sludge.
Yeah, right. Which, and the worst thing about that is that, well, let's say that we don't, there's really no proof that soy lecithin is good for your brain or whatever they're claiming, but the worst part of it is that sludge is where all the pesticides end up.
Well, and there's a quote here by Robert Atkins, who people don't understand early on, was an orthomolecular-style doctor. He was an alternative doctor who worked a lot with vitamins, a cardiologist. And a quote from him is that he advised, Robert Atkins, MD, advised patients not to take large doses of supplemental lecithin without extra vitamin C to protect them from nitrosamines that are formed from choline metabolism.
Yeah, right. That was a very good point she made. Yeah.
Okay, so soy is, and the, you know, the latest piece of news is that it's now okay. The FDA is sort of, well, and the person who's really fighting the FDA against making it possible for soy to be added to all kinds of foods without labeling is Mike Fitzpatrick.
Right.
Who is this chemist in New Zealand. And his website, again, is soyonlineservice.co.nz for New Zealand.
Right.
It's very worthwhile to go to that website and read the studies.
You know, this whole business of not labeling, this is one of what I call the dirty secrets of the food processing industry. It's very apropos to our discussion. There are many, many things in the food that aren't labeled. If the whole industry does it, for example, if the whole orange juice industry puts soy in the orange juice, that is what's called an industry standard, like a trade secret. And they don't have to put it on the label. There are many very toxic ingredients put in ice cream, starting with antifreeze, that do not have to be labeled. One of my big concerns, and we've discussed this before, is the non-fat dry milk added to 1% and 2% milk, which is...
Well, it's also added to sour cream. Organic sour cream has non-fat dry milk.
But it will be labeled in the sour cream, but it's not labeled in the 1% and 2% milk. Now, it is in Europe, but it isn't in the United States. So there are many, many things in the food that we really don't know about. MSG is usually not labeled. If what you're eating contains flavorings or spices, those words are a little red flag that it probably contains MSG. So the industry has managed to circumvent these labeling laws in many cases for these added ingredients that give the products certain properties that they want them to have.
I just want to let people know you're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with Sally Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N. She's president of the Weston A. Price Foundation and editor of Wise Traditions. Her book is Nourishing Traditions, and it's available. Actually, isn't it available on most of the, like on Amazon?
Oh, yes. It's in the stores, actually.
Oh great. Okay.
Yes, it's in the stores. If it's not there, they can get it, but most of the big stores have it on the shelf.
You mentioned non-fat dry milk, and, you know, most people are probably scratching their head because that sounds like a fairly benign substance, so you should explain why it's not.
Well, once again, first you have to understand that when milk goes to the milk factory, it's actually taken apart and put back together again. They take off the fat, they separate the protein out, Sometimes they're even separating the carbohydrates out to make, you know, low-carb milk. I just saw an ad for that.
Low-carb milk?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
But what they do with the casein is to spray dry it at very high temperatures. And that spray drying alone creates nitrates and a lot of carcinogens. The other thing the spray drying does is oxidize the cholesterol in the milk. And that is the bad kind of cholesterol. In all of these early animal studies and even human studies where they fed them very large amounts of cholesterol and it caused artery blockages, it was oxidized cholesterol. The regular cholesterol in your food does not have harmful effects on the body, but the oxidized cholesterol does.
And how do you oxidize cholesterol?
By, you know, spraying out a very tiny hole and creating a huge amount of surface area.
Highly processing.
Right. Yeah. And then the third
thing. So dried eggs, too.
What?
Dried eggs.
Dried eggs is the same thing, although they're not encountered as much. And then the third thing that happens when you spray dry milk is that excitotoxins are formed, MSG and similar substances. So all of this is going into the 1% and 2% milk, which people drink thinking that it's better for their heart, you see. And they're getting the oxidized cholesterol, and they're getting the carcinogens and the neurotoxins. It's you know, and
the irony here is that you really need the butterfat in milk. I mean, you've just gotten through listing in the course of the last, you know, 20 minutes or so, all of these nutrients that are available in butterfat.
Right.
You know, vitamin K and all of these. We've got
there's a nutrient in butterfat called glycosphingolipids, which help you digest what's in the milk.
Oh yes,
I mean
course.
There's lots of things that
yeah,
are
and then
in
there's there, there's the it's my mind is not coming up with the word, but there's a type of fat that people are putting in supplements now.
Right, that's the
conjugated linoleic acid, which everybody's selling in a supplement, which of course is in grass-fed butter.
Right, and CLA, conjugated linoleic acid, is a strong anti-cancer, especially for breast cancer. It's
how ironic, big. You know, everybody's.
Yeah. And here's the really ironic thing. They've come up with this manufactured CLA, which they make out of soybean oil. And that's what's in the supplements. And that had the opposite effect. They had to stop testing because it had such an unfortunate effect. So
we're trying to add this stuff back, like the phosphatidyl choline,
right.
Which is in egg yolks.
Right.
We're adding it back.
Yeah, and the answer is to go back and raise our animals in a humane way, giving them the food they're designed to eat, which is pasture, and eating those types of foods. What's happened is that those foods have been demonized. We're afraid of those foods, you see.
So one of the reasons I wanted to do this show is because I've been an advocate for a long time, as you know. We don't entirely agree on this issue, but I think we're close.
We're pretty close.
Mostly we agree. But that for some people, a low-carbohydrate diet is better. Not everybody's the same. Some people need carbohydrates.
But for many, many people, I would say many, many people.
It varies. People, you know, the people who need to eat low carb kind of know who they are because
right.
they're overweight.
Right.
If you're not having a weight problem or food cravings and addictions to certain foods, and you eat moderate amounts of carbohydrate foods, that's fine as long as they're natural whole foods. But now we finally, after all, you know, I've been talking about this for over 9 years, like 10 years really, because I was on the air, commercial radio for a while, about, you know, this kind of going back to our original diet, which is vegetables and meat, and for those people who can tolerate eating meat, and whole vegetables and fruits and things
and
like
the
that.
Fats.
And the fats. All right, so now we've got, finally, Atkins dies. He has a virus in his heart. He ends up being put on probably blood thinners and collapses. He slips on the ice, and he has a bleed because he's on blood thinners, and he dies.
Right.
And then everybody suddenly, it's like the low-carb thing just took off. As soon as someone dies, then suddenly everybody's on it. So now we have these low-carb food products.
Yes.
These things are terrifying to me.
They are
so terrifying. The whole point of getting people to start eating low carb was partly to get them back on natural eating habits, because during this whole low fat high-carb craze, there was this food production of all these fake foods. Now,
right.
suddenly, we have the same thing happening. And, of course, what they're adding is soy.
Right. The industry has taken this over. I've been looking at advertisements lately. I notice these huge, you know, one-page ads. In, I think in this month there must be 10 magazines that have these one-page ads for Atkins stuff. And it's bars and shakes and meal replacements, mainly based on soy. Plus, they're adding soy to pasta, bread, and pastries, all the things that Atkins warned people not to eat.
Right.
To make them low carb, they use soy instead of flour, and they use synthetic sweeteners.
Yes, and we're going to talk about those in a moment.
Yeah. So you're just jumping from the fire pan into the fire, really, because they're even worse than the foods that he was warning against. And they're not necessarily even low carb. You know, sometimes they sort of cheat on the carb count.
They're just not reliable foods. Now, we also started the show by talking about corn, and like soy, you know, it might be worth mentioning here. One of the reasons that soy and corn are ubiquitous in all these food products is because we raise it.
And
these are our products.
Farmers are paid to raise it. The government is paying to raise huge amounts of corn and soy, and that's what people are doing. If there's no, you know, there's no marketplace working out there, it's just like the welfare check coming in the mail. Now, the farmers who do things the way we want with their cows on grass and so forth, they're not getting any checks from the government in the mail. But the monoculture of corn and soybeans, and to a lesser extent wheat, is the government's subsidizing that. So we have a huge amount of these foods. And, you know, I was very interested to read recently that Americans now eat more corn than wheat in the tortilla chips and things like that. We're eating more corn than wheat.
And we eat more fructose, high fructose corn syrup in more foods. That we eat more sweeteners than we have ever eaten and than anyone else has ever eaten in the history of mankind.
That's exactly right. And the high fructose corn syrup is actually worse than sugar, and we're not defending sugar. But sugar is a natural product compared to high fructose corn syrup. And what we're finding is that it has more of a tendency to make you gain weight than sugar. It disrupts the liver. It's very toxic to the liver. It's very bad for insulin levels and diabetics and so forth. And yet this is the sweetener of choice now for the industry because it's so cheap.
And it's in everything. It's in drugs. It's in foods that you buy that you would never expect to have sweetening in them.
Soft drinks. It's in juices. It's in a lot of foods aimed at children. And what they found in the animal studies was that it interfered with the development of collagen. So you can imagine what this is doing to growing children. In fact, I was talking to a chiropractor recently. He said, you know, the bones of the children the bodies of the children I'm seeing these days are mush. I do an adjustment and it just doesn't hold. There's no integrity in the sinews and the tendons.
That's exactly
what they found with the animal studies.
We're going to have to take just a 35, 40-second musical break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation about fake foods with Sally Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions and president of the Western A. Price Foundation. So stay with us, and we will be right back. I'm Lena Berman.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever was there will gather there for certain, because today's the day the teddy bears have their picnic. For every teddy bear.
Welcome back. This is Lena Berman. I'm on the phone with Sally Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, which can be found on the web at www.westonaprice.org. And if you missed parts of today's show and want to get a cassette copy or a CD copy of Your Own Health and Fitness, any in the series, you can call my information number 24 hours at 707-874-2772, or you can go to the web, yourownhealthandfitness.com. nourishingtraditions.com. And Nourishing Traditions is also available through New Trends Publishing, is it not?
Yes, newtrendspublishing.com, along with the other titles there. I want to just remind your listeners, Weston, the first name of Weston Price, is spelled with an O, W-E-S-T-O-N.
And then
Weston
A,
Price.
Weston A. Price, P-R-I-C-E. Okay, so nobody's arguing that if somebody wants to have a nice, fresh, organic ear of corn with some nice organic butter on it, that's not a problem.
Or a nice tortilla made with masa, which has been treated to release the B vitamins and made in a traditional way. Or some cornbread that you've made at home with nicely, freshly ground
organic
corn.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about corn that has been manipulated and extruded and had the oil taken out and made into maltodextrin and all and high fructose corn syrup. And another thing they make out of corn is lysine, the amino acid lysine, which they add to the soy animal feed because the animals won't grow unless that's added.
Added back, essentially.
Added back in. It's there to begin with, but the processing destroys the lysine. So
the other thing that's interesting about soy and corn is that these are two highly polyunsaturated oils or fats, which
right.
are also disruptive to us. Now, a lot of the ones that, and these are the ones that have been pushed, you know, like all these polyunsaturated vegetable oils that are supposed to be saving your heart are actually loaded usually with corn and soy, although now there's a little bit of a move toward GMO versions of canola oil.
Yeah.
But
you need to remember with corn oil and soy oil, they're very unsaturated, and it's the unsaturated oils that are very fragile, that are likely to break down and create free radicals. And it's the free radicals that cause cancer and heart disease. It's not cholesterol. It's not saturated fat.
Bravo.
And if you looked at a flow chart for oil processing, you would be aghast. This is an industrial process that begins with extraction at high temperatures and goes through degumming and caustic refining, bleaching, deodorizing, winterization, esterification, degumming. All of these processes involve chemicals and heat. And that the oil, actually the equipment they use is the same equipment that's used in oil refineries.
Oh, my God.
And they don't, you know, what they end up with doesn't smell like anything. It's a nice light yellow color. It looks clean and so forth. But it is absolutely loaded with toxic breakdown products.
Yikes. And then on top of that, you've got the problem of the omega-6 polyunsaturated oils
right.
being so ubiquitous in our diet.
Right.
And unless people are, you know, taking some of the extra omega-3s by taking extra fish oil or eating loads of not farm-raised,
yeah.
but fresh, and only in certain areas fresh salmon. I mean, it's getting harder and harder to eat fish.
Right.
Although a lot of the companies that make fish oil capsules are testing, some of the reputable companies are testing their oils for PVCs and mercury, or using organic flax.
Yes, yeah. And we recommend a little flax oil in your salad dressing.
Yeah.
This whole business of omega-3, omega-6 balance is actually quite easy to remedy. You simply completely avoid
right.
the commercial oil,
right.
and you add a little flax oil to your salad dressing and eat wild versions of fish and pastured eggs and so forth.
That's true. Pastured eggs are also higher in omega-3s, and now some of the companies are putting flax meal into the feed of the chickens to make them higher,
right.
but I'm not sure that's working.
Well,
it's expensive.
I mean, it's better than nothing, but, you know, there's really a big problem with organic eggs. Now, I'm all in favor of organic, and I do the best I can with my fruits and vegetables, but as far as the animal foods are concerned, we really need to go way beyond organic. The USDA decreed that the chicken was a vegetarian. So these are, you know, you look on the packages of the organic eggs, it says all vegetarian feed. Well, the chicken is not a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And in order to get these chickens to grow, they actually have to add synthetic L-methionine and give them a lot of soy.
This is the vegetarian-fed chickens?
Right. And that's not what chickens used to get.
No, they used to poke around and eat bugs.
And they got the whey and skim milk from making cheese and butter.
Oh.
And that was a wonderful protein source for them, very natural protein source. That's what the pigs got.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the chickens and the pigs and the cows and the sheep and the goats were all on the same farm. And that is the model that we are promoting and that we're urging people to get back to.
As much as possible. I mean, there are places where you can buy free-range chicken eggs that they're poking around and eating purslane, which raises the omega-3s in there, you know, and eating things in the garden and stuff. But anyway, if you can't get that, the organic eggs, the ones that are listed as free-range, are still going to be better than the commercial eggs.
Right. Now, that's sort of misleading, though, because free-range simply means they're not in cages.
I know. They're just in a big pen outside.
Well, they're in barns. They're not outside.
Some of them are outside. I actually talked to the place here that raises them, and it depends on what level of, but some of them are in, even the ones that are in barns actually have natural light, though. They have a wall that's open, and they have
that's good.
Yeah, they have light and air, and the rest of them are outside in a pen. So,
we actually have a very serious thing happening with our confinement animals.
Oh, I know.
This avian flu carried off 60 tractor trailer loads of chickens in the Shenandoah Valley a couple of years ago, and now it's hit in Texas. And I talk to dairy farmers all the time, and what I hear is that they are getting a lot more they're almost getting double for their milk than they did a year ago. Why? Because the cows are dying so fast in these confinement facilities, and they are not able to replace the cows. There's just not enough cows. So I think unless we do something very dramatic, very quickly, we may end up with some real shortages in this country.
No, I think we're headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to fake foods, I want to talk about a few more fake foods that people are not aware of, and then I want to talk about some other ingredients. I want to talk about the artificial flavors, and I want to talk about the flavor industry and some fake fats. So some other foods that are fake that people are using are, as we mentioned, baby formulas, which are just horrible, and Sally does have a recipe for a non-soy-based formula in the back.
We actually have four recipes. One is actually based on the best formula, but one's based on goat milk, one's based on cow milk, raw milk, and the third one's actually based on liver. And we've had a couple of babies do very well on this who just were projectile vomiting anything that had casein in it. So
that's what I do when I eat casein.
Well, we need to get you on the liver formula.
Yeah.
But you know, they named it formula because it sounded modern and scientific and so forth, but really we should be calling it synthetic milk.
Yeah.
We called it what it is. Far fewer mothers would buy this stuff.
And speaking of synthetic milk, we now have these products that are being marketed to elderly people to add nutrients, because there's been confusion about the fact that people, as they age, as people become elderly, they actually need more dense nutrients.
They do, yes.
They tend to put on weight, so they cut back, but they actually need more nutrients and more density of nutrients. Right. So, buying these canned supplemental
meal replacements.
I'm tempted. I was thinking I probably shouldn't use the name, but I think everybody knows
what
we're talking about. Liquid meal replacements. Yeah.
And I call it baby formula for grown-ups.
Yeah.
It's synthetic. And you
completely
the ingredients: soy protein isolate, all of these processed vegetable oils, usually high fructose corn syrup, or they, they're very sneaky about the sugars. They put several different kinds of sugar in there, so sugar won't be the first thing in the ingredient list, and then all the synthetic vitamins, and there's heaps of problems with the synthetic vitamins. So this is, this is just complete nonsense that this is nourishing.
The other fake food that you're very worried about is these fake broths, like consommés and bouillon and stuff.
And the sauces and the fake gravies on the TV dinners and the
But even the health food frozen stuff, too.
Yep. Most of the time, these are made with hydrolyzed protein, which is loaded with MSG, and a bunch of fake flavors, many of which are neurotoxic. Now, when people were eating broth that they made from bones, they were getting lots of calcium and lots of gelatin, and the gelatin helped their digestion, and the calcium protected the nervous system and protected the brain. Now when they buy one of these fake sauces or get these compounds in all of the processed sauces and so forth, they're taking in something that's very toxic to the nervous system. So we've traded something that's protective for something that's poisonous.
And another place where you could find these is that I know that people on the go are using, you know, and some of these are health food store products too, these sort of dried noodle with a broth in it,
right?
Kind of products,
just add water, right?
Yeah, that are and that's full of that stuff too. And we've already mentioned protein bars, which are not food in any form whatsoever, not a food product, but protein powders. A lot of people who are vegetarians who just are not going to not be vegetarians. Are trying to raise their protein levels by adding in protein powders, and they're trying to buy ones that are whey powder, and they're using all the other, and they're looking at the ones that are supposed to add back stuff, and isn't that protein powder? No.
Yeah.
No.
No. I want to say something about the whey powders. We've talked about the soy protein powders, but the whey is very fragile. That's why in animal studies, when they're giving them, you know, the rat chow or whatever, those are based on casein, because casein at least maintains its integrity after you've spray dried it. But whey does not. The whey proteins are very fragile. But there's another problem with the protein powders, and that is that people end up getting too much protein. And that really is a
too
danger.
Too much protein?
Yes. Even the Atkins diet, if it was done properly, there was not more than about 20% of calories as protein. The rest was mostly fat. And
that might be true. Sure.
Yeah, when you do, and when you look at traditional diets, the range is 10 to 20% protein. Now, it's deceptive because if you look at a steak with a quarter of an inch of fat around it, you might think that you're getting 80% protein. But actually, you're getting about 20% protein because the steak is mostly water, whereas the fat is all fat.
I'm not sure. I'm trying to think about this too much protein deal. I'm not sure I agree with you on that, because I think that this issue of, I mean, I've seldom seen anyone who can eat too much protein, because it makes you fairly nauseous. You get fairly acidic if you're only doing protein. You're not adding some alkalizing, you know, vegetables and fruits.
Well, and the fats. And the traditional peoples never ate lean meat. They always
no.
eat it with the fat.
Yeah, you have to have the fat.
What happens when you eat too much protein is that your body needs vitamin A to use that protein.
True.
And it goes to the liver and gets the vitamin A there.
Yep.
And it's a good way of rapidly depleting yourself of vitamin A. And there was a good example of this in Guatemala. They shipped down non-fat dry milk, skim milk, and people were borderline starvation anyway, and they ate a lot of this, and many people became blind.
Well, you know what it sounds like to me is it sounds like the issue here is one of balance, not so much of, because, I mean, somebody, well, of course, they're eating more calories than I am, so 20% of their total calories is going to be different than mine, but I think that most people can tolerate a good maybe 20 to 40 grams of protein at each meal.
That's not the same as percent.
No, I know, yeah. I know. I'm just giving people a yeah. reality check, right, so that they don't go, you know.
But that's not the same.
But if it's in balance with the fat and having enough vitamin A, you know, and there's always this balancing act. And if you take vitamin A, you've got to get enough vitamin D. So it's right. This whole.
It all needs to come from food. But just going back to that steak with the fat around it, it may look like 60 grams of steak, but there's only 10 grams of protein in that steak.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So it's
well,
very,
no, 10 grams of.
Yeah. There's only 10 grams
steak.
Of protein in 60 grams of steak. And that protein has half the calories of the fat calories.
Okay.
So you can see how easy
it is. I'm not going to argue with
you.
I mean, it's going by me a little fast
yeah.
there, because my memory is that there's more anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
So just saying you're eating meat is
no,
different
I understand.
From saying you're eating protein. So.
No, I understand what you're saying. Yeah. And then the same deal with, you know, if you're using vegetable protein, you have to
but
add in.
But if you're eating a protein powder,
yeah.
that is completely different. That is pure protein. So if you eat 60 grams of protein powder, you're getting 60 grams of protein. And that's where the problem lies.
Okay.
And that's why it's so easy to overdose on protein. And it is very, very hard on the kidneys.
Yeah, I don't think it is hard on the kidneys unless you have kidney disease, but it does speed up the kidneys. I think what we're really saying here is if you're eating a sort of low-fat, high-carb diet, and you're not getting enough fat, and you're not getting enough of the fat-soluble vitamins in your diet, and you start pushing proteins like like some people were doing back in the 80s with bodybuilding, and they didn't want to eat fat.
And they're still doing it. Yeah.
And maybe they are. And then they're pushing all this extra protein. That imbalance causes a cascade of other effects in the body, because the body needs the fat and the fat-soluble vitamins to metabolize the protein. But I think that people can handle quite a bit of protein.
Well, they can eat quite a bit of animal foods, but the animal foods need the fats with them.
Well, and then I guess I would say for vegetarians, if you're going to eat vegetable protein, to add in the animal fats like the cheese and the eggs.
Right.
So this
is why we say if you consume milk, you consume whole milk.
If you
eat eggs, you eat the whole egg.
That's right.
If you eat meat, you eat it with the fat. If you eat chicken, you eat it with the skin. You need to eat the fats with the meat. And another thing that we need to do, especially if we eat meat, is to eat the organ meats as well, because that's the whole animal. The vitamin A in beef is in the liver and the organs. It's not in the meat.
Also, the organ meats have a lot of omega-3 fatty acids.
Oh, yeah, and tons of good stuff. Yeah.
You're listening to Your Own Health and Fitness. I'm Lena Berman, and I'm on the phone with Sally Fallon, F-A-L-L-O-N. She is the president and editor she's president of the Weston A. Price, Weston, W-E-S-T-O-N, A. Price Foundation, on the web at westonaprice.org. The magazine and that you get with the membership is Wise Traditions. Her book is Nourishing Traditions, which is also available on Amazon and also on newtrends.com.
Newtrendspublishing.com.
Okay, newtrendspublishing.com. Moving on, artificial sweeteners. You know what's amazing about this is, again, I went to this new, because I was talking to you and you said, well, the latest edition of Wise Traditions, and I was using it to hold up my paper. So, there's an article about artificial sweeteners, and there's a great section where they're talking about how aspartame got pushed through government, and it just blew my mind, because what was happening is that there were Cyril, who produced it, did a research project that showed that it was extremely dangerous.
Right.
And then this is called the Bresler Report, and then these people got involved, and the main player here was Donald Rumsfeld.
That's right. He was the one who got aspartame passed.
God.
He was head of Cyril.
And then guess who owns it now? Monsanto.
By the way, Monsanto was founded to make saccharin. That was what they were originally founded for.
Oh, boy.
That's amazing.
They have moved up in the world, haven't they?
Haven't they?
So aspartame is a no.
Yeah. Well, aspartame is truly neurotoxic. And people who are very sensitive to it, if they even get a speck of it, you know, will have this very sudden drop in blood pressure that makes them collapse.
Oh, God.
They will get seizures.
It's very neurotoxic.
Yeah,
it's true.
And you know, in animal studies, the animals gained weight on aspartame.
Yeah, it doesn't stop your body from thinking there's sugar around. Right, it thinks that it's also, these two excitatory amino acids do not appear together like this in nature at these levels, and you're producing all kinds of methyl alcohol.
And another breakdown product is formaldehyde.
Yeah, great stuff to have in your body. Now, in case that doesn't scare you, because I know most people are avoiding, you know, most of the people listen to the show avoid, they're not going to have aspartame.
Which is in the diet drinks.
Which is not going to drink diet drinks, goodness. But it's in pharmaceuticals, if anyone's taking a pharmaceutical.
Yogurt, it's allowed to be added to yogurt without labeling.
Oh, no.
Yes, so you know, you need to be real careful.
It's in yogurt?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I know artificial flavorings are in some of the organic yogurts and colorings and stuff.
When you buy yogurt, you want whole plain yogurt, and then you add
organic,
your own fruit or your honey or whatever you want.
Okay, so but scarier even still now is Splenda, which is a brand name. So
I have just turned to the page on Splenda here. I think your readers will be interested. This is sucralose, and the brand name is Splenda. And this is what's being used in these low-carb, new generation low-carb foods. So studies conducted on rats, mice, and rabbits showed that sucralose caused shrinkage of the thymus gland up to 40%. Now, that's your director of the immune system in your body. Enlargement of the liver and kidneys, atrophy of the lymph follicles in the spleen and thymus, increased cecal weight, and that's part of the digestive tract, reduced bodily growth rate, decreased red blood cell count, hyperplasia of the pelvis, extension of gestational periods in pregnancy, decreased fetal body weights and placenta weights, and diarrhea.
You know, but it's pretty, if you know what it is, it's chlorinated sugar.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
You know, you wouldn't go to a swimming pool and try to drink as much of the chlorinated water as you could. I mean, you're not going to, like, it makes me so crazy.
This the is name so... for sucralose is two lines long in this article. The actual name is two lines long, and I won't even try to read it to you. But it's got chlorine in there a couple of times. So.
Yeah, it's. I have talked to people who have gotten very sick using it, so it tastes good. It just, please don't use it. If you have to use a sweetening, stick with stevia. And also, at the back of this article, he lists a whole bunch of other
sweeteners. Yeah, there's some new things out there that, of course, the FDA won't look
at. They're fighting, yes.
But there are some things out there. Licorice root.
Well, licorice you have to be careful of because susceptible people will dump their potassium levels when eat licorice, and it's an estrogen. But it's fine in people with kind of low blood pressure and stuff. Yeah. Glycerin, though, is a really good sweetener, and people forget about glycerin, and it doesn't cause people with diabetes to get a blood sugar reaction.
There's something called Lohan Co.
Yeah, it's really interesting, this Chinese fruit, and there is a link here on where to find it.
If you go to it won't be on the website for another month or so. We like people to join up and get the magazine. But if you go to our website and westonaprice.org and print out the membership form, send it in, we'll send this issue out right away. It's on diabetes and artificial sweeteners with an article on fructose dangers and an article on soy lecithin, which you were talking about. So,
But, you know, the other thing is that people who have access to a Chinese grocery can look for dried, it's called Lohan, H-A-N, Lohan fruit. You can buy it dried in an Oriental Chinese or Asian market and probably just grind it up in your coffee grinder and use it. And stevia can also be used, just the leaf itself can be ground up, or you can buy the extract.
You can actually grow stevia.
That's a thought.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Okay, now, before we run completely out of time, if people also, this is somebody I need to get on the air, and I've been pursuing him, and we keep not getting on the air, but Eric Schlosser, Fast Food Nation, has a wealth of information on the flavor industry. Whew, boy.
Yeah, that was one of the most interesting chapters in his book, Fast Food Nation, about how they can make any flavor in the laboratory. They can make something, open up a test tube, and it smells like beef stew, and the next test tube will smell like hamburgers in the grill.
Well,
and
what's important to understand here is that they are making, technically, in many cases, although they won't release these formulas, they are sort of bioidentical.
They're taking the same chemicals
that these flavorings and stuff are made out of, but they're combined in funny ways, and also, anyway, it's not a happy
thing.
Well,
it's like the difference between a synthetic and a natural vitamin. They may look the same or smell the same or whatever, but they have different effects in the body.
Well, yes and no. I mean, actually, all the early study on pharmaceutical-grade vitamins, the early studies that they did in the 50s show tremendous, it's very great effects with these things. So it isn't the case that if you make something, if you synthesize something that's bioidentical, like a bioidentical hormone, it's always going to be a bad scene. But the flavor industry, the problem is that they're manipulating these chemicals. They're not making exactly the same thing as the natural. They're manipulating these flavors to make people more hungry for the foods. And they're also making flavorings. Now, one of the things he points out in the book is that some of them are natural flavorings, and you will see natural flavorings listed on some things. Natural flavorings are not necessarily safe. Natural hickory smoke is smoke.
Yeah.
So it's going to have all these oxidative hydrocarbons and things like that in it.
Well, people did traditionally eat smoked food, but and at the same time, I think the worst thing about these artificial flavorings is that they trick the body. When you taste something, let's say you taste meat, that sends a signal, and it'll sit in your stomach for half an hour before it goes to the small intestine. Meanwhile, the taste of the meat or the broth or whatever has sent a signal to your intestines to produce certain enzymes and things to digest the meat. So if you're eating a fake meat with a meat flavor, the signals have been sent to your digestive tract, but it doesn't get what it's expecting to get. And it's basically cheating your body, It's not getting the nutrients it's expecting after it smells and tastes those wonderful things. And what this leads to is a very fundamental sense of dissatisfaction in the
body. And compulsive overeating.
And that leads to the binging and splurging and all of the food pathologies that we're seeing. It's because it's like saying to a child, I'm going to give you love, but the love is, there's a spanking behind it, you see.
I've heard stories
not,
like that.
And it leads to this tremendous spiritual hunger. Mm-hmm. Well, same thing with these fake flavors. The body is absolutely starving for real food.
I like the idea that it's setting up a spiritual starvation. Because I think it does. I think
absolutely.
Connecting with
eating,
real whole foods is really...
Eating is a very spiritual act. And it's, you know, the rituals of eating are, you know, very important in most of the religions out there.
It's interesting to note that Eric Schlosser in Fast Food Nation also points out that these fast food products and these convenience foods, the food is actually less expensive than the packaging.
It's less expensive
than the packaging.
Yeah, I mean, this is all about cutting corners and having money left over for advertising.
Lots of money, yeah. Okay, now, I want to give people just a few suggestions for convenience foods. I want to remind people who are able to eat carbohydrates and grains that all the whole foods are fairly convenient. For instance, when people talk about instant oatmeal, I mean, oatmeal, rolled oats, when it's rolled into oats, is already instant. If you put the oatmeal and the water in the pan at the same time and boil it, by the time it's boiled, it's cooked. You don't have to buy something that's processed. If you can eat potatoes and sweet potatoes and yams, you can bake them ahead and have them in the fridge. They are instant convenience foods. Right. You can carry them with you. You can carry cheese.
Nuts. Yeah, nuts and cheese are wonderful foods, and we have... in Nourishing Traditions, we explain how to prepare the nuts so they don't cause any irritation.
Soaking them in salt water overnight and then baking them. Yeah, I do use that method, and it works.
Yeah.
For people who can't figure out what to eat in the morning because they're in a hurry, whole, full-fat, organic cottage cheese with some nuts on it is you just take it out of the fridge, put it in a plate, and eat it. If you don't have time to eat, make a smoothie overnight. Just don't overindulge in fruits, but make a fruit with a whole yogurt maybe.
Yeah. And egg yolks.
Egg yolks and, some omega-3 fats. Whip that up, put it in the refrigerator, and grab it in a car cup and take it with you.
Right.
And remember that stir-frying foods, for those who are like me and who don't handle carbohydrates well, vegetables and meat can be cooked in, it takes like 10 minutes.
That's,
I mean, you just put
exactly
a meat
right.
patty in with some nice... organic palm oil or some butter, and you put some vegetables in, you cover the pan, you turn the heat down, it's cooked by the time you're through getting ready to go where you need to go. And you can carry things in the car, just try to protect the nuts from getting...
Lena?
Yeah.
Are you there?
Yeah, I am. Oh, dear. Sally, do we... Oh, good,
okay.
Thanks.
I think that was in the studio. I don't think
I think it was, too. Sorry about that, folks.
By
All right,
the way, so we have a shopping guide for our members that... names, brand names, everything from crackers and bread to soups that we recommend, ready-made soups.
Okay.
And that comes with a membership. And our members have been very happy with the shopping guide. This
terrific.
Very useful.
Okay, so that's www.westonwestonaprice.org. And we are completely out of time.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Thanks
as
so
always.
Thanks so much, Lena.
Yeah. Bye-bye for
Talk
now.
Talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Sally Fallon, Fallon, author of Nourishing Traditions, available at www.newtrends.com.
New Trends Publishing.
Thank you. .com.
Yes.
NewTrendsPublishing.com. I want to thank you all for listening. I'm Lena Berman. If you need more information or you want a cassette copy of this or any other in the series Your Own Health and Fitness, you can call my information number 24 hours a day at 707-874-2772. For a list of other available shows or information about guests, go to the website yourownhealthandfitness.com. Next week, a solo show. I'm going to come back and talk about the hunter-gatherer diet. This is going back to Paleolithic-style nutrition. It's basically vegetables and animal protein and good fats and things like that, and why that might be good for people with obesity issues and allergies and things like that. The engineers for your own health and fitness are George Curtis at the Powerhouse Brewery in Sebastopol. Thank you to Johnny Otis in the Powerhouse and at KPFA, Sally Phillips. I'm Lena Berman. Your own health and fitness is produced by Free Speech Radio, KPFA, 94.1 FM. Remember, being informed not only protects your health, it protects your freedom. See you next week.